What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people. And their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher, and over there joining me, as always, is Matthew Peterson.
Hello.
And this week, we're not going to talk about Convergence, although it is finally wrapped up and the multiverse is back. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Spoilerator.
But we are talking about another multiverse event.
What?
We are talking about Secret Wars, more specifically Battle World, more specifically MODOK Assassin number 1 from Marvel Comics. Written by Christopher Yost, penciled by, let's see, Amilcar Pena? Pena?
Pena.
I guess that's how you say it.
Pena? Amilcar Pena. That's what
okay, so fill me in on something.
Okay.
Because I'm not really, I read the first issue of Secret Wars and reviewed it up on the site. I didn't read the second issue, and I'm not really reading any of the tie-in stuff related to this. This is the first one after that. So in the beginning of Secret Wars, Dr. Doom goes basically to the end of the universe with a couple of other people with him. And essentially they cause the incursion event, which causes a battle world to form. And he places himself in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. But at what point do suddenly all the Thors go, okay, we'll be your police force. And Dr. Strange goes, yep, I'll be a douchebag. And Doc Ock is, like, reduced to not having his powers and all of that stuff.
They have not shown that. And, in fact, the actual incursion event and Doom taking power doesn't take place in the Secret Wars book. It takes place before Secret Wars number one, I think in one of the final issues of either Avengers or New Avengers.
But it doesn't explain... It doesn't explain the whole Thor police or anything like that and how everybody agreed. Even in A-Force, in A-Force, does it even say why all of the women have been shoved over into this one territory and they're expected to stay there?
Nope. We're in media res. And that's, I think, kind of the biggest weakness of the book.
Of the event? Of the event, yeah. Well, maybe that's going to be explained. Of course, Marvel has announced that when all of this ends, however it ends, I bet it's going to end very much like Convergence.
You think they're going to say
everything? Where everything is there and it's can be used however people want. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, when they reset the universe 8 months later, things are definitely going to be all new, all different. Of course, we talked about that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. Listeners, you can go check that out over at the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. But I'm just confused because it's only been 2 weeks since Secret Wars kicked off. And I'm jumping into this MODOK thing and it's like, people are making no reference to anything that's going on. Everybody seems pretty copacetic to staying where they're at and understanding the rules of their area. And it's weird.
I think, and forgive me if I go astray. I think Doom retroactively built these worlds as having always had happened. So when we got to the end of the incursion event and Dr. Doom rebooted everything, he rebooted everything. It basically beyondered it, and the world started fresh. And people who were at the dawn of time remember the Spectre hold. No, wait. The people.
It wasn't the Spectre. It was the Supreme whatever.
Yeah, whatever. The people who were there at the end of the Crisis on Infinite Marvels are now on this reset world, but they do remember what has happened, except they don't, because there's multiple versions of them. This is the big complaint that I had when I recently reviewed Battle World number one. Battle World number one features two different Doctor Stranges with no explanation of which is what or how.
Well, shouldn't one of them be wearing the crazy robe and the long gloves, and the other one is something else? I mean, that's, I mean,
the Doctor Strange who's working for Doom looks an awful lot like the Doctor Strange from 1602.
Ah, okay.
But I can't say for sure. They haven't told us.
Okay.
And the Thors are, as of Secret Wars number two, the Thors are just established. There are Thors, and Thors do things, and a lot of people are Thors. Sam Wilson is a Thor. I'm pretty sure Hercules showed up as a Thor at some point.
Well, and when we, and then a lot of people are super excited about Runaways number one that's coming up, and they're like, yay, it's the return of the Runaways. And it's like, read the fine print on what this book is about. It's essentially all the kids of the Marvel Universe are in the school world, and they're trying to run away.
Right.
So it's not like you got your Runaways characters from the Brian K. Vaughan series. It's like, yes, you do have what's her name? Witchy Poo. And then
Sister Grimm.
And then you also have Amadeus Cho, and you have some other, I think Franklin Richards isn't in that book too.
Amadeus.
So it's very, very confusing. And so I jumped into, and I guess I should start giving justifications as why I thought we should review this book.
Right.
Remember, what was that book, MODOX 13?
MODOX 11.
Oh, MODOX 11. Yeah. Where it was like super, super crazy and a lot of fun and really made MODOK an interesting character. I was kind of hoping that's what this book was going to be.
So did I, honestly. And it is not.
It's MODOK just killing, basically doing his prime directive, right? Isn't that what he's set up to do?
Well, yes and no. I mean, MODOK's name hasn't really been indicative of what he is since... Oh, God, probably since he was resurrected in the 90s. But the problem that I have with this book, and this is something that you run into occasionally in comics, we have a lot of villain protagonists, and I'm fine with that. I mean, there was a time when I read the Punisher series and went, hey, I sure do like this Punisher, basically a villain protagonist. MODOK is played in this issue two ways. He's played... for laughs as, oh, tee-hee, look, he has a big giant head, but also as a really dangerous, murderous
psychopath.
Bastard.
Yeah. He just kills everybody. He's got his mind powers. What was that movie back in, what was it, the 70s or 80s, where it was...
Scanners.
Scanners. Yeah. You just think hard enough, you can make somebody's head blow up.
Daryl Revok.
Yeah. I just watched that about 6 months ago again. It was great. But yeah, MODOK does that. He does that to Bullseye. He does that to Doc Ock, who's not... Octavius with the octopus arms, just some scientist nerd.
Right. He does it to Gambit, which
frankly,
again, is the best part of the issue.
Well, and I was going to say it continues Marvel's quest to annihilate everything having to do with the X-Men, especially since Gambit is playing a big role in the upcoming movie, right?
Oh, no. This is House of M Gambit. This is not even official Gambit.
See, God, it's so confusing, right? And then you got this whole thing where the Sentinels are just standing around going, we don't want to go over to the kill zone because we don't want anybody to kill us and giant robots and stuff.
That's one of the things. The one rule of Battle World is you do not cross the battle line. You don't cross into another area or bad things happen.
Oh, so it's like all these domed cities, the domes suddenly come down, and if they go over into other places, they have to fight each other? Is that what's going on? At the whim of this supreme being thing that has control of the entire planet?
I'm going to be honest with you. I did not like this issue, so I haven't put that much thought into it.
I'm just saying, I did, on the first week of Secret Wars, I did a checklist of everything in Convergence and everything in Secret Wars, and save for one thing, they're the exact same event.
There are two good things in this issue, and I'm going to tell you what they are right now, faithful spoiler.
Okay.
It's one, Gambit's head gets popped on screen.
Okay.
And two, MODOK drives around in a car that looks remarkably like an Ed Roth Fink car.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Which,
it really does.
With his big rubbery head, makes it really entertaining. That is not worth the $4.99 to buy this
book. There's a shot of Angela at the end, who may not be Angela.
It's Angela.
It's an Angela, yes.
It's not the Angela, or no. Maybe it's two Angelas. I don't know. But yes, there is an Angela, and she's also a Thor. She's a Thorgela.
So again, if you don't know your Marvel history, just like if you don't know your DC history, I think jumping into Secret Wars is going to be very confusing to a lot of you. I think this issue specifically is so wackadoo out there that it is not new reader friendly.
Here's the problem. I know my Marvel history as well as I know my DC history. This ain't it. This is something entirely new and synthesized. And that's, you know, I had part of that complaint when we were going through Convergence. We'd get to an issue and I'd be like, well, this is meant to be nostalgic for a time of, you know, somebody's history, right. But it's not that.
Right. It's not following along with. So the problem with Convergence, like if you read, well, you and I talked about that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast, I think, where we were talking about how the Marv Wolfman Teen Titans Convergence book
works
really well because it's written by the person who wrote the series back when it was, you know, in its prime. And he picked right up on that zeitgeist and continued to roll with it. So it felt very much like it belonged. But then when you read something like Super Warrior and the Legion, or if you read Batman, those books make no sense because it's all taken out of some wackadoo context that even if you are somebody who meticulously graphs out the timeline of each one of these different universes, it still doesn't track forward. You know, the tangent doesn't continue in the right way. And I that's kind of what this feels like to me.
Yeah, and I do agree. And I think that when you have a story like this one, this is one where they're clearly basically saying, hey, the gloves are off. We're going to write something really wacky and out there. Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, not everything has to be a reference to the comics of the past.
And no. I feel like, and that's exactly what this one is not. It's not referencing comics from the past.
But I also think that you got to have something, you got to have a hook or something that you can grab a hold of. And as much as the idea of MODOK has a big giant head will make you go tee-hee, you can't really hook a whole book on MODOK has a big giant head and goes around popping other people's heads. For me, anyway, I didn't necessarily feel like there was a whole lot of meat on the bones of this one.
No, and that's what I thought, too. I thought it was, well, here's a psycho killer who's now fallen in love with this angel who has fallen from the sky.
Probably.
And that's basically what I got out of it.
It hurt when you fell from heaven?
That's basically what
hurt?
I expect him to say.
You big Dorcas, you going to cry? Cry, baby angel, cry. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going. And I don't know, do we know how many issues this is? If this is a two-issue miniseries, then it's going to be, wow, here's just another example of Marvel
MODOK
trying to...
MODOK Assassin is 4.
Okay, well, there you go. At least it's not trying to be too much like Convergence.
Well, Convergence had a specific job to do, and that job get us to the West Coast.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the other thing, too, that's good. Remember how all those Convergence issues just end?
Yes.
Well, guess what? If somebody decides to pick that up and write it in their universe, guess what? Those stories can't continue, which means that the Nightwing Oracle marriage is going to continue in the, what was it, pre-Flashpoint post-52 world?
The pre-Flashpoint, yes, the world of the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, Supergirl being alive on essentially Earth 1 and OMAC being alive on Earth AD. These are all things that please me.
They do if they ever develop it. But if you remember at the end of 52, when they brought the multiverse back and then DC had all these opportunities to do stuff with it. And then they just sat there and floundered it. And then they decided, let's do Flashpoint. And then let's destroy everything with the new 52. And maybe we can bring back some old geezers and some youngins if we just create this multiverse again like we should have done at the end of 52.
Don't be that guy.
That's what they should have done.
Don't be that guy.
You know, in relation, how that relates to this Secret Wars event, and I know people are like, God, could these guys just shut up and say something positive for once? If you appreciate what was going on in Convergence, I think you will appreciate what's going on in Secret Wars. And if you like MODOK for the insane, head blowing up kind of guy that he can be, and you want to, and this was kind of, from my understanding, this is what MODOK was designed to be, right? Designed for only killing in its original form, but then it was, you know, tweaked and modified over the years.
Yeah, sort of.
So if you want to get maybe back to the pure roots of what MODOK is, then maybe this is going to be for you. But if you're looking for, if you're like me and you were hoping for a MODOK's 11, or you were hoping for MODOK of AIM, where he's just kind of crazy, especially if you're coming from the animated series and you've seen MODOK be kind of interesting as a villain there, I don't think you're going to get that in this book. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly, but this book just really was not that good.
Yeah, I think that there's a question of when you're talking about comics, there's a question of, is it bad or did I not get it? And in this case, I think that it's a little of both. Yeah. It's definitely not aimed at me. I didn't feel like this book was something I was really interested in sitting down with, but I gave it a chance and it really felt like a lot of pseudo wacky violence tied together with the expectation of, here's a main character who acts kind of like a big head Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just it's not something that really particularly appealed to me as a first issue. Now, where it goes from here with Angela in play could be an entirely different matter.
Right.
But the thing that I have always said is you have to give us a meaningful hunk of story. You have to make each single issue an actual one-on-one reading experience. You can't just have it be chapter 3 of 8, just transitioning in cold, and then at the end you're out. And if this book goes someplace really awesome, it's going to be a trade paperback that has a really weak first chapter. And that's the thing. I mean, this is where I sit on this, is I didn't necessarily... I know what they're going for, even. I mean,
what are they going for? Explain it to me.
The whole joke on the cover and the whole joke of, you know, the pink art, the pink logo, the assassin logo is all tied back to Frank Miller's Elektra assassin from 1980. I'm going to say 88.
Yeah, which
was absolutely whack jobby.
Yeah, and I had that one. So. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do that same sort of thing with MODOK here. And I respect that. I understand that. I just don't feel like the execution was there. And there's really not a lot of story here. There's maybe a little bit too much tell for me and not nearly enough show. So, again, it depends on how the whole Secret Wars thing shakes down. We've got 8 months of Secret Wars, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of said this. You said this to me a month ago. When I was rallying about how awful I thought Convergence was, and you're like, well, remember, at the end, it kind of end of Crisis, it kind of all made sense and really worked out.
Right.
That's kind of what happened with the end of Convergence, is that it kind of worked out to something that I think a lot of people will eventually be happy with. But in the case of Crisis on Infinite Earths, people look back on that and say, look at this massive job. Look at this massive story. Look how well it played out. I think, you know, even 10 years from now, we're going to look back at Convergence and go, well, at least they tried to correct their past mistakes.
Right. It did what it did, but it did it in a way that wasn't entirely...
Yeah,
it wasn't artfully necessarily assembled.
Yes, and I don't think it was. It could have been handled differently. And I think, unfortunately, I'm going to say the same thing to you about Secret Wars. Maybe by the time Secret Wars ends, it'll all make sense, and we'll look back on this in 20 years and go, man, they sure did that thing.
I have a theory.
Okay.
About Convergence. I don't think that Convergence is going to be remembered any differently than Zero Hour, which is to say 52 with the reveal at the end.
Yes.
Has memories of the story built up to this thing, and this thing happened, and then it kind of petered out. And Crisis on Infinite Earths had some weird stuff in it. It had a big, you know, some self-indulgent moments. Yeah. And at the end, it did something that people go, oh, wow, that was a big thing. I think the Convergence will be remembered like Zero Hour, in that it was a whole lot of sound and fury, and at the very end, something happened that affected other stories and maybe even made other stories better, but the actual event itself is pretty unmemorable.
Yeah, so, and I think that's what's going to happen. And certainly, unfortunately, this book, and I know someone's going to jump over to iTunes, these guys complain about everything. We don't complain about everything. We talk about comics that we like, and we praise comics that are good, and we tend to criticize or chastise comics that are not so good. And in my opinion, this book, MODOK's Assassin number one, is not that good of a book. It relies too much on insider information. And again, I feel like I'm saying the exact same thing that I said about Convergence a lot of times in a lot of the tie-in issues. If you're a fan of nostalgia, if you're a fan of this particular character, then yeah, I think you're probably going to enjoy it. If, like Matthew said, you only want to see Gambit get his head blown off, then rush out and buy this issue. But this is something that I think you could probably pass on.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. And I think that, you know, you can say that we're being negative, but here is the thing about it. We are being negative because we gave the book a chance and we looked at it and we did not find what we wanted. That doesn't mean you won't find what you wanted. That doesn't mean that, you know, it's bad in comparison to anything else. I would say that MODOK Assassin, if I were to give it a numerical score, would be in the lower 20% of any numerical score I were going to give. Because some of it looked good, some of it sounds good, there's some cute dialogue in a couple of moments, but it doesn't hold together. It's a joke told by a 5-year-old for me. And
oh, no, 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 no. 5-year-olds can tell jokes much better than this.
Hush. As wonderful as a joke told by a 5-year-old can be, it's not necessarily something that always works as a standalone. And in this case, whatever you were going for, I'm willing to come back next issue and see if it goes someplace interesting. But this first chapter did not hook me, didn't entertain me. And I'm just kind of like, eh. So, yeah, you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah. So let's take a look at what comes out next week. Of course, this week was a holiday week, and a lot of people are like, Steven, where are the new comic releases? You're right.
Yeah,
the holidays
Steven.
Got me. The holiday got me all screwed up. I thought Tuesday was Monday and that today was Thursday for some reason. And my week is just all screwed up.
Steven.
I know. My week is all screwed up. And then I just like passed out for like 4 hours today. It's like weird.
It's called sleep.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Everybody does it once
because
in a while.
Because I woke up and there was a cat sitting on my chest. I think he was trying to steal my soul.
Fortunately for you, you worked in television and have no soul left.
Yeah, so let's take a look at next week, shall we? Dark Horse Comics has Age of Reptiles, Ancient Egyptians, number one. That should be a good Rodrigo book. Baltimore Cult of the Red King, number two. We also have Never Boy, number four.
Baltimore Colts? What?
Yeah, have you not read that? We really need to read that Baltimore series, because this is kind of like a Van Helsing kind of story.
We read the first volume, I think.
I don't know if we read it on the Major Spoilers podcast.
We did, but it was pre-Zach. We read Baltimore When the Bells Ring or something.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Right. Yeah, so we need to revisit some of that, because there's some interesting storytelling going on there.
Need is such a big word.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. What else comes out next week? Rat God number 5 comes out from Dark Horse Comics. DC Comics has Action Comics number 41. Oh, and here's one of the brand new number ones comes out next week. Batmite number 1.
Oh, I already called it.
Batman Beyond number 1. Mm-hmm. Bizarro number 1. Mm-hmm. Green Arrow 41, Justice League 41. Those are the ones that are going to continue on in the quote unquote New 52 universe.
Yep. I have Omega Men number 1 next week.
Midnighter number 1. Omega Men number 1.
Bizarro number 1.
Yeah, Bizarro number 1 sounds like fun. Let's take a look at that.
Okay.
For our thing. Also, Flash season 0 number 9.
Flash season 9 number 0.
If you're wanting to get your off-season Flash fix. It's not a horrible series, but I believe it's available first on digital.
Is it digital first?
That's how it kind of reads out, but that's okay. IDW that's Publishing fine. Has G.I. Joe Real American Hero number 214. Let's see. Dave number 5.
Dave number 5 is there.
Look at this. Coming out, this is really weird. This book must have sold out. There must be something big going on with this G.I. Joe, because IDW has G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero, number 214. And then they also have, in the same week, listed G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, 214, second printing.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's a misprint, but that's really weird.
Maybe it's a 215 and a 214 second printing.
Maybe.
Somebody or a 214 and a 213 second printing. It may actually be.
Maybe.
They may have had so many pre-orders that they put a second printing into play.
Well, and then there was also the whole issue with the dock worker strike that was holding everything up.
Right.
So Millennium number 5, Samurai Jack number 20, the last Millennium. Fall number 4. Yes, Millennium. And then we have Winter World Frozen Fleet number 2 coming out from IDW Publishing. Image Comics has Airboy number 1, Big Man Plans number 3, Covenant number 1. I forget, was it Rodrigo or Zach that did that Big Man Plans number 1? Must have been Rodrigo.
I think it was Rodrigo.
Jupiter's.
No, it was Zach.
Okay. Jupiter's Circle number 3 comes out next week. Morning Glories 46. I haven't read that in for so long. No Mercy number 3, Non-Player number 2 comes out. Wicked and Divine number 11 comes out. Marvel Comics has Amazing Spider-Man 18.1. Oh, and here's another one that's going to be an interesting one next week. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 1. This will get a, I bet this is the biggest seller of the entire month.
You think?
I think Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 1 is going to be a big deal because it's got the whole Peter and Mary back together again with their kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the biggest book that comes out in the month. Armor Wars number 1 comes out. Darth Vader number 6. Ooh, well, I forgot about the Star Wars books. Those have sold really, really well. Groot number 1.
Groot?
Groot number 1 comes out. I think that's kind of a direct competitor to Bizarro.
Groot Zorro.
Yep. Princess Leia number 4 comes out. Secret Wars number 3. Star Wars number 6. Mm-hmm. Thanos, Infinity, Relativity, OGN, HC.
Gesundheit.
BDD, PDQ.
BFD, LMNOP.
WTF. Wolverine number 20. Oh, I'm sorry. Wolverine's number 20.
Wolverine!
And Years of Future Past number 1.
The tender story of how Patrick Swayze saved us all.
Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 6 also comes out. So there's a lot of good books coming out next week from Marvel. Or a lot of books coming out next week from Marvel. Some of them will be very good.
There are books. Yes. They have names.
Arcadia number 2. I forget who that's coming out by.
Arcadia.
Bravest Warriors number 13. Bunker number 11. Broken World number 1. Crossed Badlands number 75, Matthew.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a collector's one. Crossed Badlands number 78 comes out.
Oh, well, that's even scarier.
Just
that's
think in a
three
couple of,
more gratuitous murders right
in,
there.
In a couple of months, we will be able to look at Crossed Badlands number 100.
Yes. You are threatening me.
Yes, threatening you.
Oh.
Feathers number 6, Flash Gordon Omnibus, trade paperback, volume 1, Man from Earth. That's a $29.99 book. Wonderland. That's Grim Fairy Tales Wonderland number 36.
Wonderland.
Halogen number 4, Imperium number 2. Justice Inc. Avenger number 1. Oh, I'm going to have to read that one.
There you go. You want me to call it for you?
I'll write it down. King the Phantom number 3. Last Zombie Zomnibus.
The Zomnibus?
It's the Zomnibus. Legendary Red Sonja number 4. And Legendary Vampirilla number 4. That's a $50 book because it's one of those rare virgin cover variants. That,
right. It's one of those
dynamic
legendary
forces.
Heirs.
Yes.
Will.
Mage Inc. number 1, Masks 2, number 3, Ninja.
So that's a total of 5.
Yep. Let's see. Plunder number 4, Red Sonja Vulture Circle number 5, Red Riding Hood Superhero Graphic Novel.
What?
That's what it says. Red Riding Hood Superhero Graphic Novel. Simpsons Illustrated number 17, Six Gun Valley of Death number 1. So if you're a Cullen Bunn fan, you'll want to go pick that up. Suicide Risk number 25, Uncanny season 2 number 3. War Stories number 9 and Woods 13 all come out next week. So some good books coming out in the first week of June.
Nice.
We are, less than 6 weeks away from the San Diego Comic-Con. You're going to want to check out the Major Spoilers website. We're going to cover that as much as we can. Don't have Zach as much now that he's got a full-time job. If we would have been able to hire him full-time, he'd be cranking out the stories, too.
Dang that, Zach.
Well, we could hire him full-time. We just need some more Major Spoilers VIPs to make it happen. Remember, if you head over to members.majorspoilers.com, you like what we do and you want a little something extra and you want to see us continue to do great things, just sign up for a $2, a $5, or a $10 a month subscription. A $5 a month subscription, a silver membership, that's the cost of one comic book right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even have that kind of money.
And yet you can still buy comic books.
Well, yeah, but.
Well, so there you go. We appreciate all of our VIP support. And in exchange, when you become a member over at members.majorspoilers.com, depending on your level, your support level, you get access to a little bonus and behind the scenes and extra content, including the flashback podcast that Matthew and I do. We just wrapped up the first season of Flashback for the CW's Flash series, and it'll come back again in the fall for silver members and higher. So you want to get on board with that. If you are already a Major Spoilers VIP, thank you so much. But I would ask you to go and check your credit cards with your PayPal accounts or whatever that you use to sign up with your VIP membership so that there's not a lapse in your stuff, in your support.
We don't want your stuff to lapse.
Yeah, we don't want your stuff to lapse. Yes. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
No.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for downloading and listening and sharing this podcast with a friend. And until next time, when you hear Matthew say,
"Hey, look over there, it's Bizarro."
Take care and keep reading comics.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.